D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Are your children being brainwashed in school? We'll take a look at how the educational system is eroding our society from the ground up on today's Truths That Transform.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Graduation time is just around the corner, and American universities will be once again sending out a class of students that has been brainwashed in cultural Marxism. A recent survey showed that 58% of millennials say they would rather live in a socialist, communist, or fascist nation than a capitalistic one. And this is not an accident. Our schools have long been petri dishes of leftist social experimentation, designed that way by the fathers of modern education. On today's program, you'll see how that's playing out on campuses. As we begin, I recently had the opportunity to sit down and talk with our friend Carol Swain. Dr. Swain is a retired professor of political science and law at Vanderbilt University, who became controversial on her campus because of her outspoken conservative and Christian views. She has seen firsthand the liberal orthodoxy in which students are immersed. A young student going off to university today who comes from a Christian family, if he or she has chosen a secular institution, is in for a big wake-up call at freshman orientation. Scripture says if the foundations be destroyed, then what hope is there? What are the foundations that they're trying to take away from these young people?
Well, they want them to question their identity. And so if you are a Christian youth, and I'm thinking about Christians that have given their lives to Christ and they were raised in Christian homes, what they will encounter is a worldview that says, you're stupid if you believe in God. And it will question the core beliefs of everything that they've been taught at home. There are no absolute truths. What's true for you? And you hear our young people saying, well, I don't judge. And this can be something, that's just clearly condemned in the Bible.
Right.
And so it's not us judging, it's the Word of God judging. Mm-hmm. And so our children, and not just our children, you can hear young pastors parroting, this rhetoric. And in some ways, it's a cop-out. And I see a lot of young people, the Christians, they say, well, I'm a libertarian. To me, that's kind of like a cop-out position. Mm-hmm. But they're trying to avoid... They're trying to be accepted. Everyone wants to be accepted. Mm-hmm. And, it's natural to want to be loved. And so I think that when young people go to campus, they want to show the love of Christ. And they are in an environment that's hostile. It's easier to keep your mouth shut. It's easier to even not let people know who you are. Mm-hmm. And I think that the whole thing, that the people who run the universities, they have experience, and they know how to get at young people, and they know how to cause them to question everything they've been taught. And they're hearing things that, can shake them to their very core. And only the most discerning ones will be able, I think, to avoid the traps. And if they think, like what is happening on our college campuses is, again, they're not teaching students to think anymore.
Right.
They're indoctrinating them.
Would you agree that a student, though, that comes to university setting for the first time and has been schooled in advance about how their faith is going to be attacked, that once they hear that, it's almost comforting. They go, okay, that's what I expected. They're going to try to use science against me. They're going to try to use this. It's when they're there and they have no idea of how to defend themselves that they're most at risk.
And you know something that really, it surprises me at times, that a lot of Christian parents, you know, that they are enamored with the Ivy League schools or the schools that had the big football teams, and they want to send their children there. And they seem not to realize that those places will destroy their children, and that their children may not be prepared to go there, may not be prepared spiritually and emotionally to go there. And there's a trade-off between saying that my child is at some big fancy university and yes. the faith of their child. And some of them are spending, you know, how much is a college education? $200,000 or $300,000 over 4 years for something that's going to destroy their children's faith. And they have not invested enough, you know, in those early years to prepare them for what they're going to encounter.
Cultural Marxism, basically, right? I mean, economic yes. Marxism's been a failure everywhere it's tried. And the Marxists have argued that there are institutions in the culture that have prevented Marxism from taking hold. And if those institutions, like an academic institution that is a true marketplace of ideas, that has to stop. The family, that has to stop. The church, that has to stop. Cultural Marxism is all about implementing in a new way old ideas, right?
Yes, and you, I'm sure you're familiar with the book that Cleon Skousen wrote, was published in 1958, called The Naked Communist. That book had near its appendix 45 current communist goals. And so this is back, you know, late 1950s. Those goals were read into the congressional record in 1963. And if you read through those goals, much of them have been accomplished. And one was to take over a political party, to discredit the FBI, to use race as a wedge issue, to take over the public schools. And you go down the list, and they've accomplished almost every goal that they've set out to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And again, this is in the congressional record. And no matter, some people that would dismiss Cleon Skousen would say, okay, he was a nut. You know, he was this, he was that. I think the proof is in, was he right about those 45 goals? If we look at America in 1963, when they were read into the record, and look at America today, what do we see? And I think we see the implementation of those communist goals. And yes, it's cultural Marxism, and it's all about destroying our society.
As Carol Swain reminds us of what is really happening on today's college campuses, it's important to be mindful that our educational system is largely ruled by the wrong and harmful ideas of men who are themselves long gone, even though their influence remains. Dr. D. James Kennedy introduces us to a couple of them in this portion of his message, A Godly Education.
If there is one thing which is made abundantly clear, both in the Old Testament and the New, it is that children are a gift from God, that they are loaned to us for a little while, and that we as parents are responsible to give to them a godly education, that we are to rear them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that line upon line and precept upon precept, His truth is to be taught to them. Now, today, we live in a time when there are powerful forces that are engaged in an effort to see that that education is nullified and that instead they receive a godless education. This has, of course, been a cause of great concern to many, and we might ask ourselves, how did it come about that so many of our children today are indeed brainwashed in godless secularism in so-called Christian America? Consider the history of education in this country for a moment. From 1620, when the Pilgrims landed, until 1837, virtually all education in America was private and Christian for 217 years. So the basis of America lay with private and Christian education. Virtually all of the colleges were established for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, or some other such statement as that. We might ask ourselves, how did the public education system become so secularized, become so anti-religious in its bias? How did that happen? Well, remember that the father of modern public education in America is Horace Mann. He is revered as the father of modern public education. In 1837, modern public education was born under the influence of Horace Mann in Massachusetts. Who was he? He was a Unitarian. He did not believe in the Trinity. He did not believe in the deity of Christ. He did not believe in the inspiration or authority of the Bible. And he looked around him and saw that the entire educational system of all of the children in America was in the hands of the Christian church. And that, to him, was deplorable. Something must be done to remedy that situation, and the answer to that was statist education, run, operated, controlled by the state. Hence, the beginning of the modern public education system, an effort to deliver children from the Christian religion. However, what he planted did not come to full fruition until the 20th century, and that principally under the influence of another name well known in public education, and that, of course, was John Dewey, who was a professor at Columbia Teachers College in the 20s and 30s in this country, who taught thousands of teachers, who went out and established the teachers' colleges all over America, and his ideas of so-called progressive education became absolutely dominant in America. Who was John Dewey? He was the first president of the American Humanist Association. He was a signer of the Humanist Manifesto number 1. He did not believe in God. He did not believe in Christianity. In fact, he felt that Christianity was the principal problem that needed to be solved by our public educational system. My friends, the anti-Christian, anti-God bias, the censorship of all things Christian, and the infusion of an atheistic, amoral, evolutionary, socialistic, one-world, anti-American system of education in our public schools has indeed become such that if it had been done by an enemy, it would be considered an act of war. My friends, and this is not to indict all public school teachers. As I said before, there are some who are trying to do the very opposite of this. But it is to indict the humanist educational elite who are trying knowingly to foist this off on all of the public schools. They are literally at war with America and have brought this nation into a situation where it is, quote, a nation at risk, said the National Commission for Excellence in Education. Thank God that the fastest growing segment of education in America today and of numerous other countries is again Christian private education. It is growing far more rapidly than any other segment. You as a parent are responsible and will give an account to God for providing for your children a godly education. Dear friends, wake up to what's happening to our kids in America before it's too late.
Our second president, John Adams, once said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." that means that part of being a good citizen is knowledge of God and His principles. No wonder our national fabric tears apart as education is secularized in the vision of Horace Mann and John Dewey. But when God is scrubbed from the public square, something else also disappears: freedom.
A gunman killed 17 people and wounded 16 at a high school in Parkland, Florida.
School shootings have become all too common. And yet, in the 1830s, Dr. Benjamin Rush, one of America's founding fathers, warned us that if the Bible should ever be removed as a textbook, then crimes would increase and we'd have to waste lots of money to try and prevent them. One can only wonder what Dr. Rush would say about far too many of today's public schools.
It's becoming clear that a long trail of official negligence led to the Valentine's Day school shooting in Parkland, Florida.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day.
Look at when they took prayer out of school. Ever since then, you didn't hear about the kids killing each other, about them bringing dope and oozes and things to school and shooting the teachers and other students. You didn't hear about that. You see what I'm saying? That's what's wrong. We need more God-fearing.
When you take generations of kids through an education system and you teach them there's no God and you teach Darwinian evolution, naturalism as fact, what's going to happen is the coming generations are going to become more consistent with what they believe, and they're going to do what is right in their own eyes, which just like Judges 21:25, when there was no king, no absolute authority, they did what was right in their own eyes. And you notice the more that that worldview has increased, that secular worldview, it's become very intolerant of the Christian worldview because there's an incredible clash right there. But it's really a clash at a foundational level between the absolute authority of God's word and it's man who determines truth.
Our Constitution prohibits the establishment of religion by the federal government. And yet critics note that secular humanism is in a de facto way being established in our public schools. Consider what happens when a formerly Christian nation goes on to outlaw God. That's what happened for decades under communism in Romania.
In modern America today, I see some of the same things that I saw growing up as a child in communist Romania beginning to happen here in the land of the free. Maybe not to the same extent, not yet, but I see that we as a society and a culture are becoming very intolerant of genuine faith in the marketplace and especially in the public schools.
I was born in communist Romania during the dictatorship of Nicolae Ceausescu. I was born in a country that I call a land of lies and a prison land because people were not allowed to speak the truth and people never had the freedom to travel outside or the freedom to express their opinion about the government or any kind of opinion. As a young kid, I watched my parents being politically correct outside of home, but whispering their real feelings about the government inside the home. And as a child, I was terrified. I realized that the government will not protect me and not even my parents.
The communists required us to go to school on Sunday. We missed schools on Sunday, we went to church, but there was a price to pay for that because on Monday when we would come back, we would have these school-wide assemblies and our principal would invite all of the kids that had missed school the day before to step out into the front of the school-wide assembly. And would then proceed to berate us and belittle us and insult us and to invite our friends and colleagues to do the same thing. This was a weekly occurrence. This was not a isolated event or incident. This was a weekly occurrence designed to intimidate and to harass followers of Jesus Christ.
The dictator declared himself God and required or expected each one of the Romanians to worship him alone. Mm. And the ones who did not worship, they were jailed or killed or simply disappeared.
Granted, this is an extreme example of how low a nation can go, even in its schools, when God is completely outlawed. America needs to learn these lessons and not go down this path.
You can read an American history book today that's used as a textbook in the school, and either you don't really know that our founding fathers had a deep faith in God, or they make fun. The books will actually make fun of our founding fathers and their belief in God. Our history books omit that. So we're basically, as I say, looking at history today that's being sacrificed on the altar of political correctness.
You have the taking of the Bible out of schools where we have a more pluralistic society. I believe that we have to train people to be in the trenches. There's no quick fix here. One home at a time, one family at a time, one person at a time. America is sick, but it does not want to be healed.
The ideas of Karl Marx made the Romania that Harry Mihet and Virginia Prodan grew up in a totalitarian nightmare. And people like John Dewey and Horace Mann then imported these toxic ideas into American education. It's essential that we understand how these powerful men still exert influence on us long after their deaths, and for us to be able to counter their lies. We have some excellent resources that will help you do that. And here's my very dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy, to tell us more. Hey, Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. The first is the insightful, powerful book, Seven Men Who Rule the World from the Grave by Dave Breeze. These men each died over a century ago, yet their ideas changed the course of history and still steer us today, often without us even knowing it. Seven Men Who Rule the World from the Grave looks at the unbiblical philosophies of Charles Darwin, Karl Marx, John Dewey, and Sigmund Freud, among others, and shows how they negatively affect you, your children, and grandchildren even today. We would like to send you a copy of Seven Men Who Rule the World from the Grave by Dave Breeze as our thanks for your generous donation to the work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. Your donations help us to broadcast programs like this, which proclaim Christ and His Word to a world that is dying for lack of truth. And you're also helping us to train Christians to work in the corridors of power through our D. James Kennedy Center for Christian Leadership Initiative to fight for freedom in court against slanderous groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center and much more. So please, give a generous donation today. If you can give $50 or more, we'll send you the book, Seven Men Who Rule the World from the Grave, plus the special DVD program, The Three Lies of Socialism. Our children have been lied to by their teachers and their culture. Nearly half of millennials now say they prefer socialism to capitalism. It's time to set the record straight. This DVD program, The Three Lies of Socialism, exposes three of socialism's biggest lies: that there is no God, that you can have something for nothing, and that socialism works. It shines the light of truth on falsehoods that are being taught through schools, entertainment, and the news media. We'll send you this DVD program, The Three Lies of Socialism, as well as the brilliant book, Seven Men Who Rule the World from the Grave, as our thanks for your generous donation of $50 or more. Or get just the book for a generous donation. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org.
College campuses are now places where a politically correct orthodoxy is drilled into students, and where even the very notion that there might be opposing views is now considered hateful and inflammatory. Recently, the polling firm YouGov did a survey of college students showing that 58% wanted their campus to be free of intolerant or offensive ideas. When asked if the First Amendment protects hate speech, 54% of the students either said no or they didn't know. A survey from Gallup showed even worse results, with 64% of college students believing that the First Amendment should not cover so-called hate speech. Conservative speakers like Ben Shapiro and Christina Hoff Sommers have been protested on college campuses as uninformed undergraduates demand that their universities rescind speaking invitations to anyone who does not hew to the liberal line. The ability to discuss and debate ideas is not only important, it's essential to the functioning of a representative republic. Our so-called institutions of higher learning, following up on the work of the public school system, are producing a generation of easily offended, unthinking leftist drones who recoil to their safe places at the first sound of any idea they disagree with. In the words of the president for the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, they are unlearning liberty. In Missouri, a state representative has introduced a campus free speech bill that, among other things, would establish sanctions for students that interfere with the free speech rights of others and make it illegal for school officials to disinvite speakers simply because of protests or controversy. A similar bill is on the move in Arizona. School administrators will now have to think twice before allowing the shock troops of political correctness to exercise the heckler's veto. Let's hope that all 50 states eventually pass such legislation. Though it's sad to think that we even need it, given that these very rights are already secured in the First Amendment. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
A republic is a government by law. If you ask the average person today what kind of government we have, they will tell you we have a democracy.
This law is a clear abridgment to the First Amendment rights of these Christ Pregnancy clinics, but also other institutions.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.